Until yesterday, the Ukrainian city of Lviv has been a safe place for hundreds of thousands of Ukrainian refugees fleeing the war. Ukraine says that up to 30 Russian missiles have been fired at the Yavoriv military training base near the border with NATO member Poland. Officials say that at least 35 people have been killed and 134 people were critically injured in the attack. A few days before this event, I spoke with Victoria Vasiluk, a resident of Lviv, who has been hosting refugees from Kiev. We discussed what it has been like on the ground for internally displaced people in Ukraine, and she gave a personal account of Russia's aggression against her country. Here is that interview.
The information about what's happening in Ukraine that we're getting here in New Zealand is about what's happening in Kiev, the capital city. Can you tell us a bit about how your city has been impacted by the war?
Thanks God, bombs are not getting there. They are on the south, on the east, on the north. But here we are, my city actually is taking refugees as much as it's possible. We are like the city that is very close to the border. So usually people are coming here, staying for a night or two nights, and they are moving. So like it's the transit point for Ukraine to leave the country. Already more than 2 million people left the country. Still right now, the city is full of refugees. Every theater, every cinema, every place possible is right now like the place for refugees. If there is no mattresses, they're using blankets, just people are sleeping on the floors. Well, volunteers trying to do anything to host as much people as it's possible. It's hard here, for example, to find a place or an apartment, rent some room in hotel. It's impossible here right now. Our mayor is asking not to raise the payment for those things, but still, like, even if price is not that high, you cannot find anything free. Here right now, it's really hard to stay for a longer time because this place is very close to the border. So you can be hosted here like for 1, 2, maximum 3 nights. In other cities that are not that close to the border, you can stay for longer. I'm hosting a girl from Kyiv actually, and she's living with me already a week and a half.
Right. So do you feel safe where you are right now? I know you said you're very close to the border. So have you ever considered leaving Ukraine?
I feel kind of safe. And sometimes I feel guilty about it. Western Ukraine is pretty safe right now. I don't know why, but self-saving mechanism never worked on me. And I'm not considering leaving the country. I'll be staying here as much as it's possible, as long as it's possible, and will be helping as long as I can. I don't understand how people can leave their parents, grandparents here. My granddad is 91 years old. He's not going to leave the country. I don't feel like I can do this. Other people can, and it's okay. But I don't feel like I can do this. As for now, we will see. People who live in the country, they don't feel safe. Listening to those sirens and ready to leave, there is no enough bomb shelters for everyone in the city. Like to reach the closest one, it's really far away. And it's not that good to, you know, when you hear those sirens, it's not that good to go outside either. So either you are staying in the apartment, either you have like your apartment as a safe place, or you are getting to your basement. But here basement cannot be a shelter for you, because if your building will be hurt, will be destroyed, it's impossible for you to get out of there. There is no air coming here, or, well, it's like you can be a hostage of that basement. So I decided to stay in my apartment with food, every window with the scotch tape. And it may sound strange, but why is that? If there will be an explosion nearby, so if the window will be broken to the inside, so it will be like in one piece or in less pieces than it can be, so it can hurt less. Then I was blaming myself for doing nothing. Like, how can you be safe and doing nothing? But people are feeling the same. So there is a lot of volunteers in the hospitals, in those refugee shelters, everywhere. So first, what I've done, I just took my money and I've bought everything I could in the supermarket and sent it to army, because they are in lack of multiple things. Then I decided to go with my friend to make those masking nets. I don't know whether you know what it is about, but something that army uses when they are trying to defend the country. And after that, like few times, I've been on a railway station feeding people and with sandwiches and hot tea. And believe me, 75, 100 liters of hot tea, less than 1 hour. And people can wait in the queue to enter a train for hours, for days. And it's -4 outside, so people are freezing. But people as well, those who live there, they are trying their best. Somebody, for example, understand that there are volunteers, that they can feed and warm them, but they are trying to influence on their mood. For example, we have a piano on the railway station, and everyone who wants can come and play piano for refugees. Well, people are trying to do what they can.
You talked a little bit about Russia. Has what they're telling people in Russia and what they're telling the world, things like claiming that Ukraine has bombed themselves, things like that, has that been something that's been going on since before the war? Or has it really just become really prevalent now?
It was actually before the war. Well, speaking about actual war, it started in 2014. We were living in that like passive war time when they were saying to their people that those three regions of Ukraine that they occupied since 2014, that those three regions, speaking about the Crimea Island, Donetsk, Luhansk, so those three regions, they were saying like, those people want to join Russia. They are speaking Russian language. They want to do this. But what they've been doing, they were putting Russians into those regions to do a riot. Like, we want to be a part of Russia. But meanwhile, citizens were like, but we don't. What's wrong with you, right? But that's kind of propaganda they were doing. What else they are doing? They are hiding from, Russia is hiding from Russians that actually they are sending the soldiers to the war here, that their soldiers are killed, that their soldiers are in captivity. Our army is trying to take into captivity people, just not to kill them, but still there are lots of losses from their side as well, but they are not speaking about it. They are not telling this to their relatives, to the family. They are not speaking about it. They are just trying to hide everything. They are not taking the bodies of their dead soldiers. They don't really care about it. Russians are taking as a hostages 300,000 people in one of the cities, Mariupol. They are starting shooting. Why? For people not to leave. Why they are doing that? They are trying to give some food, water from the side of Russia. So people who are starving, who are thirsty, they can use those things from the Russia side. That's how they can, you know, record this. And you see, they are very they are very happy that we came to save them. How come they save us? We need to be saved from them. The major concern is about the nuclear power plant that is also under Russia right now in Chernobyl. Probably you've heard something about it because in 1986, if I'm not mistaken, it was a catastrophe when it got exploded and, you know, all of the radiation and all that stuff. So and they took that place and, you know, like that's the very sensitive thing because they can manipulate with like, well, we will make some other catastrophe. Recently, they also took some other nuclear plant on the east in Zaporizhia city. It's like, maybe you've heard about it. It's the biggest nuclear power plant in the Europe. So it would be, well, they were shutting this place. So if it would explode, it would be the catastrophe even worse than Chernobyl was. So because it's much more bigger. But thanks God, it never happened. And our army defended that place. And there was a fire already at this place. But you know, like everything is good right now and no radiation. Well, everything is good right now with that place.
The last thing I wanted to ask you is, with men being required to stay in the country to defend the country, do you think that this is the right thing to do? Is this something that you agree with?
Well, lots of people, they are in queues waiting for... waiting to join the army, actually, territorial defense, meaning. So really, like, not everybody even right now can join because there are too many volunteers. Still, the government decided not to allow people, like men, to leave the country. I don't know whether it's right or wrong. I don't really know. But, well, from my from the side of my friends, I've heard that only two people were asked to join the army because they had they were already in the army, so they have experience. That is why they were asked. And but there are too many volunteers for that, too many volunteers to give blood, for example, to those people who suffered and they need blood transfusion. So also I tried to give some blood, but there is a queue for a few days. So like, well, people are trying to help, and even though government decided not to allow men to leave the country, still they want to join the defense, still they want to join the army. So I don't know whether it influenced that much. Well, if they won't do that, so maybe more men would leave the country. They don't really have a choice, so maybe that's their motivation. But they are doing very great, and I'm really, really proud of my country and my defenders and army. So we had lots of sirens starting the first day and no bomb came here. So they are defending really, really well.
And that was Lviv resident Victoria Vasiluk. And I just want to make it clear that this happened. This interview took place before the recent attacks on the Yavoriv military training base. Of course, Victoria, if you're listening to this, all my support to you and everybody around you, and hope you are safe.